Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jordan Poole.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Real talk, Whitey.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
That's what it's about this time of year.
888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason. It's Warriors This Week here at 95.7 The Game. We got 2 hours to go. A lot to get into here over these final 2 hours. The phone lines are open. We've been talking about the Warriors game against the Spurs last night. What does it really mean? It was pretty awful for three quarters. Warriors were down going to the fourth, but they blow the doors off the joint in the fourth quarter. They win. They're tied with the Clippers for fifth, although still technically sixth, and four games to go. Big one tonight in New Orleans, Clippers and Pelicans. Warriors could move up to fifth. Do you want to play Phoenix? Do you want to play Sacramento? Do you want to play Memphis? I had a caller last night, as I mentioned off the top of the show, that wanted Phoenix over Sacramento. Said they were less cohesive and that the Suns have got guys that can't get it done in the big moments. I'm thinking, wow.
Yeah, I mean, like Brian Windhorst said, and we don't know if this was just his opinion, what it was based on. Reese's teams would rather, they want to play Sacramento. One of the reasons he gave was because Sacramento doesn't have that playoff experience. And certainly when you talk about Phoenix, they have a lot of playoff experience.
Yeah, there's two reasons. I mean, there's a bunch of reasons you'd want to play the Kings over some of those other teams. But yeah, the experience is part of it. The lack of defense is another part of it. And again, the Warriors are not in a position to manipulate who they play. And they're not the type of team that would do that to begin with. But as far as I'm concerned, the best scenario for the Warriors would be the one, however it needs to shake out, 2-2, 3-1, whatever, where the Clippers end up fifth, they play Phoenix, Warriors end up sixth, they play the Kings, you avoid Phoenix, you avoid Memphis, you avoid the play-in tournament. Mm-hmm. To me, that's checking all boxes, but you can't get cute with it to the point where you wind up seventh and have to play play-in games. The whole point of the exercise here in the last four games and week and a day of the season is to win enough to avoid the play-in tournament. And if that means you end up playing Phoenix, well, you end up playing Phoenix. And right. You let the chips fall where they may, and you go try to beat Phoenix and Denver and that side of the bracket, and you see if this team can make a run.
Here's something that I'm going to guess you will disagree with, but I thought Draymond was a little careless. Not a big deal, but when he said this week, we want to play Sacramento because of their travel. I understand that, and I know he's right, but I just think that's the type of thing there's not a lot of upside to saying. Will it matter? Probably not. But you know there's a lot of fans and maybe some players too up there that are looking for things like that. Ultimately, it's probably not going to matter, but I just think, you know, probably better off if you just don't say that at all.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that Draymond did say that. Now, he went out of his way to say it has nothing to do with the team. He has the utmost respect for Mike Brown. I know he's a big De'Aaron Fox guy. I think they're both Clutch guys. I think Fox switched to Clutch Sports as far as his representation. So I think Draymond and Fox are kind of tied there. And look, he's respectful of a team that's on the come, it looks like, and had a good season. But yeah, I'm kind of with you actually on that
All
one.
Right.
Like it didn't necessarily need to be
What's
said.
What's the point?
Because there's always a difference between what the media pundits say and what the players and the actual organizations are saying, right?
Like
the Lakers didn't come out in a press conference and say, we want Sacramento. Now, it sounds like somebody in the Lakers, LeBron maybe, leaked it to somebody that said, hey, that's Lakers are targeting that spot. The Warriors haven't been caught up in any of that, although the closest to it would be that, I mean, I don't know. It's the travel component, which is consistent mm-hmm. with things the Warriors have said in the past. The Warriors have talked openly about, we'd rather play the Clippers than Memphis because it's an hour flight versus a 3.5 hour flight. Mm-hmm. Like, they have said things like that in the past without naming the, they name the city more than they've named the team specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess.
Well, and I know Draymond is, he's been, this is not his first trip to this rodeo, assuming they make it to the rodeo, which it appears they will. I just wondered what the upside is to that, while at the same time you take what he said at face value. I understand that.
All right, let's hear a little of this, the sound. Let's do Windhorst first. This is what Windhorst said. This was, what, within the last day or two?
Respect to the Kings fans and Kings Nation who are about to have a big game night tonight. The Kings are the mark. The Kings are stuck in the 3 seed. That's where they're going to finish. The Kings are the mark. All of these teams smell weakness on the Kings, not only because they haven't been in the playoffs in 17 years, but because they're not a good defensive team. And if you're the Warriors, who's planning on a long playoff run, they love the idea of being able to drive in the first round series. That's an advantage. The Warriors want the 6, which is why coming back from 20 down last night was one of the biggest wins of the season to get and stay in that 6 seed.
All right, so that was Wednesday on Get Up. So that was the day that the Kings clinched. And, I mean, I don't think no lies told
yeah.
at that point. I know Windhorst did, a few weeks back, have the report that the Lakers were also targeting that 6 seed before LeBron ended up getting hurt.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Kings fan, I guess you say, well, be careful what you wish for. But again, at face value, yes, that makes sense, right? I mean, you could understand that. I'm not sure, as I said earlier, whether Windhorst is basing that on things that he's heard, people he's talked to, or if this is just his opinion based on what he knows about the situation.
Yeah, and so Draymond was the other part of this you referenced. So let's hear from Draymond about...
And this was further back a little bit.
This was before Windhorst, because Windhorst referenced what Draymond had said. And so here's Dray.
I'm not upset at if the standings shook out how they did today and we met Sacramento in the first round. Not because I think Sacramento is a weak team, because the travel is so much easier. If you think about our road to winning the championship last year, it started with Denver, which is a 2-hour flight into the altitude. Then from there, we went to Memphis, which is a 4.5, almost 5-hour flight. Then it was a 4-hour flight to Dallas and back, conference finals. And then a dreadful 6-hour and 15-minute flight to Boston. I said all of that to say, the reason why I said Sac is simply just because of the travel. That's a lot on your body. If we could bus ride 1 hour and 10 minutes up the way, like, I just think that's much better for us. Now, Sac is playing well and very good team, but just from the travel, at the end of the day, I don't really care who we play in the playoffs. I think we can win.
So there you go.
Yeah, and that also speaks to the fact that the Warriors have been through this and through this and through this. The Kings, you know, they're so happy to be in the postseason. You could tell them your first round series, you got to play in Tibet. They'd be like, fine, right? Whereas the Warriors like, no, we can't. We're tired. We've done this many, many, many years. And that also speaks to one of the advantages the Kings have had this year. We talked about, JD, how they have put more of an emphasis on the regular season. And physically, they have that luxury. A more veteran team like the Warriors, they can't do that because you have to rest some of your guys.
They're one of 5 teams, I think, in the league that's taken the regular season seriously for the entire season.
And bless them for that. And as we said, they're reaping the benefits of that. But older teams don't have that luxury.
No, they don't have that luxury. And I think that's essentially what Draymond's saying. Hey, we're old.
Yeah, he is. Exactly.
We're old.
Oh, man, a 6.5 hour flight to Boston. Yeah. And just imagine the Kings would be, we'll go anywhere right now. We don't care.
Which only goes to show how difficult the Warriors getting on some kind of a run against anybody is going to be compared even to last year. It's like you're almost looking for any little advantage you can, because, one, this Warriors team isn't as good. Like, let's just be honest. Like, again, we could say it. This team's not as good as last year's team. Could they make a run? Sure. Again, but top to bottom, this team's not as good. Like, that's just the reality. They haven't played as well, as consistently.
But the league's not as strong either.
The league is not as strong. And maybe that will ultimately works to the Warriors' advantage, although I do think Boston's better than they were if it gets to that point. I think Milwaukee's better than they were.
See what Boston just did to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Went in there. That was a
40 to 99.
That was a, we don't care, we're not getting home court advantage.
Yeah.
We'll come into your place and blow you out.
Man.
And beat you anyway. No, impressive. And Milwaukee, through the second half of the season, has been the clear-cut. Like, they have established themselves as the clear-cut best team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And then Boston went in there and just rocked them.
Yeah, just like, disemboweled them.
Little
yeah.
message sent, I think. And that was one of those games where I was kind of looking around and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. And because I was out and about, and so I wasn't watching it live.
You were probably watching some baseball that day,
and
too.
I saw the score and I thought, did Milwaukee rest their guys? And then I thought, nope.
There they are.
No,
yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah, you click it on and like, nope. Like, what's going on here with Boston being able to win that game at the level that they did? So, yeah, I do think it's be careful what you wish for if you're the Warriors. And I do think anything is going to be in the eyes of another team. Again, it's the small market thing, right, too, with the Kings. It's, you know, oh, we're a small market. Nobody respects us.
And it's like, a little brother, Northern California little brother.
No doubt. And so that, I think, is natural. And I think it was Steiny who said a couple, maybe within the last week to 10 days, we were just having an off-air conversation. He goes, man, you know, if the Warriors play the Kings in the playoffs, and it was just the way he said it, he goes, stuff's going to happen. Like, stuff's going to happen. Like, there's going to be back and forth. Something's going to happen with the fan bases. Guys that you wouldn't think are going to get into it. There may be a little sneaky shot by somebody that you don't expect, and then it becomes a thing. I mean, these playoff series tend to take on a life of their own.
Mm-hmm.
I think Steiny also kind of joked that ultimately, only the people in Northern California are going to care about that series, which I don't necessarily think is true.
No, the Warriors are always a draw, and people are starting to pay a little more attention to the Kings.
Yeah.
Because they love the Beam.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about around the country. Oh, the Beam. I like the Beam. Right?
No, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, again, we'll see if it shakes out. There are a number of different ways that it could still go here. And
that'd be great.
For the last week and a half, it's looked like, basically, I think I have it down to 11 of the last 12. I think 11 of the last 12 days at the end of the night, it's been Warriors-Kings locked. Tonight, if the Clippers lose, it would not be that. It would move with the Warriors up to play in Phoenix and the 5 seed.
And the Clips are at New Orleans.
And the Clips are at New Orleans tonight. That's a big game, obviously, for both. You could make the case a bigger game for the Pelicans. But the Clippers, again, they have to win a couple here to try and secure their spot. They could dip down to 7 if they lose enough, and they still play the Pelicans tonight. They play the Lakers this week, and they play Phoenix. So their schedule, I think you could make the case, is pretty equal to that of the Warriors, maybe even a little bit more difficult than the Warriors schedule over the final week here.
Just look at the deadline and what teams did and the way we thought things were going to go. And I don't want to get carried away on GP2, but it looks like, wow, that's an acquisition that could really help them, at least in the short term. And you look at Dallas. Well, they got Kyrie 37-40. And Westbrook has actually played pretty well for the Clippers, but they have not played as well as they thought they would after they got him. And, of course, Paul George got hurt. And Durant got hurt, but now with him back, they look like they're on a roll. But it's funny because at the deadline, we all know as a Warrior fans looked and said, oh, my goodness, look what all these other teams did. But things don't always work out the way they are planned.
Let's get into the collective bargaining agreement. This was something that broke late last night, just before midnight, and all of the big NBA reporters all over it, including Woj of ESPN, reporting NBA and the Players Association reaching agreement on a 7-year collective bargaining agreement. And so that would obviously begin with the 2023-24 season. So next season.
That's the first good news, is that as a fan, it's like, we don't have to worry about.
Yeah, there's no lockout.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know the league was going to opt out if they hadn't agreed to a deal. They had extended the deadline to agree to a deal a couple of different times. I think there were two different deadlines, one in December and one maybe at the end of January, to where they had to either agree to do something or agree to move the deadline. They ended up moving the deadline to March 31st, and I think they even extended it into the wee hours of April 1st on the East Coast to get the job done. And so among the many bullet points in this, and it sounds like the one and done is going to stay for college, which
they're
is a
tabling
little,
that. Yes.
Little bit of a surprise.
I agree.
There is going to be an in-season tournament, which is going to amount to I think anywhere between 4 and 7 games of the 82-game schedule. I guess it's going to take place November and December.
Can I give a few more details on that real quick?
Yeah.
From that story that I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
The Woj story. So we will have pool play games that will be part of the regular season starting in November. 8 teams, remember, this is the NBA tournament we're talking about. 8 teams advance to a single elimination tournament in December, and then the final 4 will be held at a neutral site with Las Vegas prominent in the discussion, sources say. And they determined that winning players and coaches for this in-season tournament will earn additional prize money. And I thought I saw somewhere it's like $500,000.
Yeah, $500 or $550,000.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, agreed upon. Prize for players. Like, that's going to get them motivated to try to win this tournament.
Yeah, so, I don't see it. And
I don't either.
It is, again, it's that faux drama that I think the league tries to ferment.
Yeah.
They're doing it here, which I think is, you know, whatever. It's kind of is what it is. As far as the scheduling and all that goes, I mean, it sounds like 22 teams are just going to play their 4 pool play games, and it's going to, and then on to the next
season.
And there may be a little tweaking to the schedule, I think, to balance things out. And yeah, one team, or I guess 2 teams, would play an 83rd game if you make it all the way to the end of what would be, I guess, 3. You'd need to play 3 games to go to the final of the in-season tournament, and that 3rd game would be an extra one. So the other ones, I guess, would be baked into the schedule as well. As far as everybody playing 82, and I would guess there's going to be some TBDs in February and March, or March and April, as far as who's going to play who that'll get filled in to try and make it as even as possible as far as everybody playing everybody.
My hope is that we'll get to the championship game of this thing and pick a team that might be in it, JD. Any team.
Orlando.
Okay, Orlando's in it, and they decide we're going to have to rest Paulo and Wagner, and we can't play these. We have to rest them, and they won't play in the championship game. And that will be the end of the whole thing right there.
Well, I should have picked the Clippers.
Yeah, right.
Although,
you're right. The Clippers mascot should just be somebody sitting down.
Although Kawhi, I mean, you tell Kawhi he's got to play, he gets a $500,000 bonus for winning. That might be enough to get Kawhi to play.
Huh.
I like the other thing is the 65-game limit for postseason awards. And I was surprised at that one. Before we get into the nuts and bolts, and there are some nuts and bolts that pertain to the Warriors potentially as far as spending and all of that, we're kind of getting to the lower end stuff first of it. But
right.
Yeah, a 65-game minimum to be considered for MVP and DPOY and even all NBA teams, which impact bonuses, impact, at least in the old version of the CBA, whether somebody could get a Supermax deal. 65 seems, I don't know, I think you thought that number could be higher.
A little.
I actually thought, I'm surprised it wasn't like 55.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought 65 was a good get for the league.
Better than nothing, yeah.
And that is the most tangible, and I'm not saying it's going to do a lot, but it's the most tangible thing I think the league has done to discourage load management. Since load management became a thing with Hall of Fame Popovich making it cool and acceptable.
Yeah, it's hard for me to imagine that a star player, say November, we've got the second out of a back-to-back. You know what? Normally I'd rest, but I'm going to play because I want to make sure I don't hurt my chances to win an MVP award. I mean, I guess that could work, but it's hard for me to imagine. I know on the surface it looks like, oh, great idea, and I'm all for it. I just wonder how effective it ultimately is going to be. But giving it a shot.
But could you imagine, like, Steph having an unbelievable, like, Steph would be DQ'd, like, already. Like, that's surprising that the league would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Embiid right now, is Embiid going to play? Embiid's not going to play 65, right?
It's 63 now.
Okay, so maybe he'll barely get there. Okay, to me, that's, I don't know, I think that's a significant number. That's more than 2/3. I mean, basically, you can miss 17 games.
The interesting thing to me about it is it puts the onus on the players.
Mm-hmm.
Themselves.
Yeah, do you want it or not?
Yeah, exactly.
But it also, I like the fact that in a way they got to put their name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? Player X, I don't care about the MVP. Player Y maybe does care about the MVP. That, to me, is like there's a level of ownership to that that I think I like. You're going to kind of know who's in and who's out.
Yeah, I think it's worth a try. I am skeptical that it'll have much of an impact, but the problem is so big right now that I think it's, yeah, any way you can address it, let's give it a shot.
888-957-9570. Let's sneak in Robert before we get into the nuts and bolts of the highest spending teams and how they could be impacted by the collective bargaining agreement. It's not good news on the surface for the Warriors. We'll explain why here coming up on 95.7 The Game. But Robert, you're up first here. Thanks for holding on this morning. You're on Warriors This Week.
Thanks for taking the call, JD and Whitey. First, I have to agree with Khalid that Wiggins getting injured might be a little bit of a blessing in disguise just for Kuminga being able to get on the floor and get some consistent minutes and actually develop. So hopefully when Wiggins does come back, he will continue to do so. Second thing for you, JD, you said that you thought Adam Silver was the worst commissioner in sports. You think he's really worse than Rob Manfred?
Yeah, I do. And I really do.
Wow.
I do. And thanks, Robert, for the call. I think you look at some of the things that Manfred's done and the whole repackaging of the game and the game getting sped up. And he, you know, I don't agree with everything that Manfred's done, but I do think he's tried to streamline the game, I think, in a way that brings a little bit of what the game used to have back. And I think that whether it's a quicker pace, whether it's more balls in play, whether it's whether it's things with the schedule, with now you can every team plays every other team every year,
eliminating the shift, larger bases.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to bring stolen bases back. Like you may say that's corny, but
it's not corny.
But what are they trying to do? They're trying to enhance movement on the field. They're trying to enhance balls in play with the shift rules. They're trying to get the games to be played at a better pace with the pitch rules. I mean, I personally hate the DH in both leagues, but I mean, making it uniform where you're making the schedule uniform. I mean, every team plays in every other team's park every 2 years now, every other year. So that, like, you know, the Yankees or the Red Sox are coming to play the Giants every other year now. You know, every iteration of that is going to have, like, I think, you know, being able to see stars of other teams play in your city,
sure,
regardless of league, every other year is a big, you know, I think that's kind of a big deal. I mean, I don't know. I think you can, I think there are some things that MLB has done that people like to scoff, I like to scoff at, but are more practical than some of the things the NBA has done, to be honest.
Here's why I'm with Robert on that, and I know we don't want to spend any more time than we already have talking about, you know, baseball,
sure,
and the Warriors This Week. But to that point, comparing the commissioners, I'm with you that some of the things baseball's doing this year, they have a chance to work. But I wouldn't give Manfred too much credit for that. I will give him and other owners credit for having the wherewithal to go out and find someone. I think Theo Epstein was key to this, finding people to come up with suggestions. How can we make the game better? All right, we're going to implement those. The thing for me that I can't forgive Manfred for was the ham-handed way in which he handled specifically the Astrogate thing. And I don't think he handled that well, and it's going to be ultimately probably forgotten. But to me, sometimes he still seems like a guy that I don't even know if he likes baseball. Silver, to this point, he's got a lot on his plate. This is a crucial time for him. And to me, I don't think he's had many missteps yet, but it's all going to come down in terms of his legacy, which he thinks is linked to the in-season tournament, how he's going to handle these really pressing problems, and tanking and load management are chief among them.
Adam Silver's,
so we'll see.
Adam Silver's legacy is players not playing, star players not playing. It's load management. It's teams that continuously go through the motions and don't bring it on a night in, night out basis. It's player movement at a level that's just ridiculous, that it's disproportionate to the actual play on the floor. You've got the playoffs and the regular season being two different sports in terms of,
sure,
how the game is played.
But what could he have done about that?
Which is
his fault.
Well,
it has happened while he's commissioner.
I mean,
there's
it's
no question.
Like, to me, you could make the case that the league has never been less competitive than it is now. But it's also like it's. But they're good on social media. So there's this social media, yeah, like loudness of the league's never been better. It feels like propaganda, to be honest. Like, the league's never been better, and it's so competitive, and all this talent, and all this shooting, and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, it's right. But I just. I don't know. Miss me with that. I think it's I think the league has never been worse in a lot of ways. And I think we're a little bit, in a bubble in the Bay because the Warriors have been what the Warriors have been over the course of the last decade. So I think we think that the league is better because we've watched the Warriors and covered the Warriors dominate it.
Yeah.
I think if you were even covering an ordinary good team over the course of the last decade, you'd be like, ah, this is brutal. And I think we're getting a taste of it this year.
The league has been, and I know you know this, but you're not old enough to remember, the league has been worse, like
sure.
Before,
yeah,
before
35, 40 years ago,
before Magic, before Bird, when the game, the finals were tape delayed. So it has been worse. I think the upside to where we are now is while we don't have those dominant teams that before the season starts, it's going to come down to the Lakers, Celtics, whatever. I think there is something that's a little more interesting about that. When last couple of years, who's going to win? Well, it's pretty wide open. Now, if the price to pay for that is really mediocre basketball, to your point, I don't know if it's worth it. But some of these things, while I agree with you that there are issues, I have a hard time blaming the commissioner for them. That said, it is incumbent upon him to do something to fix them.
408 on the Comcast Business text line, we're overdue for a break. The argument is that 12 teams in the West are within two games of each other, so it looks competitive. Again, it goes back to what I've
it's
said.
It's balance.
It's
yeah.
Fake competitiveness, which is what the play-in tournament is. It's what the in-season tournament is. It's create, then rather than have it be competitive, let's pretend like it's competitive, then have everybody on social media tell you how competitive it is. Missed me with all of that.
Well,
all
right. It is balanced.
We're overdue. Yeah. We're overdue. 888-957-9570. We're halfway through. JD Whitey, 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Lamb holds it to Poole. Poole curls off a screen. Shot good, and he got fouled! He just fired it up there. The bucket's good. Greg Popovich looking back to his second row to see if he will challenge this. Keldon Johnson said, what am I supposed to do here?
Yep.
And they're going to challenge.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we're going to miss Pop, aren't we?
That was a horrible challenge. That's one of the worst challenges I've seen this season.
We'll miss you, Pop.
But Pop, hey, it got Pop off the bench, I think. I think Pop, it was one of maybe two times Popovich even got off the bench last night.
Gonna miss you, Pop.
Although his team was playing well for them.
Aren't you surprised that he's still coaching?
Not really.
I am a little, but I assume, well, if he's still around, he's hoping to see what happens.
Why wouldn't you,
with the lottery, and then, but if they don't hit it in the lottery, Why would he hang around for this? I don't know.
If you're Greg Popovich, yeah, why wouldn't you hang around? You're a made dude. You're the winningest coach in NBA history. You're a three-time coach of the year. You're a five-time NBA champion. Why not hang around and go through the motions? Like, that's like,
does he need the money?
I don't think he needs the money, but it's like, why, what's the downside of everybody thinks you're great? There's no expectation to win. It's like,
I would think the losing.
It's easy to just keep showing up. You think the losing gets to him?
I would guess. That would have been my guess, given the fact that they'd won, you know, five championships.
I think Greg Popovich.
Go do whatever you want. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's what he wants to do.
Greg Popovich was indifferent to winning and losing, I think, a decade ago. I think even before they won the fifth championship, I think he was like, you know what? Hey, make or miss league. Win some, you lose some. Like, we'll put a good effort out there. But
I thought he hates that. I thought he hates make or miss league.
No, I think he pretends to hate it.
Oh, I see.
Like everything else.
I see. I think he's been a great coach, and I understand.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that he's been a great coach, and congratulations to Greg Popovich, among those officially set to be inducted in the 2023 Hall of Fame class.
Yeah.
Popovich, along with Dwayne Wade, Tony Parker, Dirk Nowitzki, Pau Gasol, among the many, Becky Hammon as well, the women's committee inductees, and others. I think there's a couple others that I don't have here as well. But yeah, those are the headliners.
Former Warrior assistant Greg Popovich.
Yeah, I think that's where he learned to not care, was under Nelly, who... he's a Nelly guy, and Nelly was... I mean, how many times did Nelly quit on a team? I mean...
This guy's a winner. This guy... Isn't Nelly the winningest?
Look, here's the deal, and I kid, and congratulations to Pop, and he is an all-time great. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But there are two things.
Did you ever have a bad episode with him?
No, okay. Never. I've always had good. The key to Popovich is just ask him a direct question about basketball. If you ask him a direct question about basketball, he gives you an answer. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, whether he knows you or he doesn't know you. The thing about Popovich is the act. His whole I'm a jerk to the media thing is an act.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And I don't, you know, whatever. That's kind of an eye roll for me. But there's two thoughts as far as Popovich in the Hall of Fame. And yes, he's an all-time great. He might be the greatest coach of all time. I'd probably take others. I'd probably take Phil Jackson over him. You know, whatever. Again, it's semantics at this point. But
I'd take Pop. But
there are two things that Popovich, to me, that have not been good for the game that he's been at the forefront of. One is tanking. I mean, he made his career on tanking. He basically made his career on tanking back in 97 when they, you know, David Robinson was hurt and they got Tim Duncan. And his whole success with the Spurs was based on Tim Duncan. And load management. Like, he was the one, as the dean of NBA coaches and widely considered to be the greatest coach of all time, who made load management acceptable. And the Spurs had the science behind it and all of that. And it's led to, over the last decade, this dreck of a regular season, which is largely unwatchable on a night-in, night-out basis. It's better now that it's toward the end and, oh, hey, faux excitement. But Popovich is at the forefront of selective competitiveness in the NBA, which, for somebody who's the greatest coach of all time, that rubs me a little wrong. And it is why I do look at Popovich. Look, he's one of the greats. I'm not denying that. I know I've kind of taken it down a negative road on him. But I do think the bad should probably be acknowledged with the great as well. And he's tied to two things that I think have been horrible, especially the load management.
Fair enough, but I would also argue that the load management helped them when they were a much older team get to the finals in 2013 when they should have won, and then to also come back the next year and actually win and beat the Heat. If they don't load manage that older team, maybe they don't get there. I don't know, but I think you could. I'm making that case. Let me ask you this. We mentioned Don Nelson and Popovich, number one in victories, and he was a Warrior assistant. Can you name the other two former Warrior head coaches who are in the top 10 all-time in victories, regular season?
It's Nelly, and then there's two other ones?
There's Nelly, yeah. Nelly's second.
Rick Adelman and George Karl.
That's exactly right. Well done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, come on.
Rick Adelman was only, what was he? He was barely here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think two seasons
for
Rick Adelman back in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I think 6-5-0 coming down my road a little bit. Is Pat Riley indifferent to winning and losing? No, I don't think Pat Riley's indifferent to winning and losing. Pat Riley's chased winning every single year, I think, with the exception of maybe one.
So I think in Pop's case,
Pat
the
Riley's
load management
completely
was
different.
Because,
I think Pat Riley's the opposite of Popovich.
Well, I don't think so, because I think the load management from Pop with that older Spurs team wasn't because he didn't care if they won or lost. He knew that it gave them their best chance to win the championship. I think that's why they did it.
Sure. And they had an older team. And
yeah, that's it.
And that's fine, but it's, again, it's something that became acceptable, and you can say other teams have used it in a different way. But when the best coach of all time says this is the way to go, it's a copycat league, and everybody's going to roll with it moving forward. And it's become a nightmare. I mean, on a night in, night out. I mean, it is like everybody wonders, you know, ratings this and just not as into it. Like, what's the problem with the league? What's the problem? Like, the problem with the league is the regular season mostly sucks. Like, that's the reality. That's just blunt terms. And again, I think we've been
Pop's fault.
We've been immune to it because the Warriors have been and played some of the greatest basketball in the history of the sport in the last 10 years. And we've seen it every single night in the Bay. And so we're in awe, and we should be. And the Warriors, by comparison to other teams, haven't done the load management thing as much. They've done it a little more the last couple of years.
Sure, as they've gotten older.
And it's driven Warrior fans crazy because they're used to this high standard of play. They hate it, wanting this team to chase wins, wanting to see Steph do something spectacular every single night possible. But I do think we view it a little bit differently this last decade because the Warriors have been so dominant.
I think if it's ever hurt the Warriors, I understand why they've done it, and they've won multiple championships. They won last year, so again, the proof's in the pudding. But I think it's one of the reasons why their road record's been so bad this year. I wouldn't say it's the primary reason, but it's one of the reasons they've had so many road games where their best players haven't played.
Well, the Warriors punted on two games in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like, why did they split the season series with New Orleans? Mm-hmm. They punted on two games in New Orleans back-to-backs in November, made them developmental games, and got beat in both of those games.
But they didn't do that because they don't care if they win. They're just looking big picture. That's all I'm saying is that's what Pop's philosophy is.
And look, maybe you don't win those games anyway, given the way the Warriors were playing at that point. But what you see a lot of teams do is they kind of pick the games. And you know what? The league, I'll say this, and this goes back to my point about Adam Silver. The league, I think, has also made it acceptable in how they say, well, you know what? A prime TV game, you can't load manage, or if you load manage, you risk a big fine and ramifications. But so if you're Milwaukee playing the Warriors on a Thursday night, you better play your guys. But if you're Milwaukee playing Detroit on a Friday night, nobody cares. Like that's the league saying that some games have more value than others, which I think is horse bleep.
Well, I think the league, if you go
and
back
that's on
and look,
Adam Silver,
they
who's
have tried
the worst commissioner in the last 40 years in professional sports. I'll say it.
They have tried a lot of different things and they haven't worked. And they've tried to prevent teams from resting their stars on the road. And they've tried to prevent teams from load managing and nationally televised
games.
They have.
Have they really?
The idea is because teams go, okay, great, thanks for your recommendations. And the means they've employed haven't had any teeth, and they're looking for answers. And I agree with you, it's on Silver to figure out what to do, but it's not his fault. The teams look at that and go, this works, so we're going to keep doing it.
Another interesting component to this is the new collective bargaining agreement, which has been agreed to. We went through some of the things over the last segment.
Are you
here
telling me load management is outlawed in the new CBA?
I wish.
Yeah.
I wonder often what David Stern would do. But it's funny because here's the one thing I'm going to say. I feel like Adam Silver has been, in many ways, a puppet to the players. However, don't tell Draymond Green that after what broke last night as far as the collective bargaining agreement, and don't tell the Warriors that as far as some of these excerpts from the report from Woj. I'll read it. The NBA is curbing the ability of the highest spending teams, such as the Warriors, the Clippers, to continue to run up salary and luxury tax spending while still maintaining mechanisms to add talent to the roster. The NBA is implementing a second salary cap apron, $17.5 million over the tax line. So you've got the cap, then you've got the tax line, and then you've got now $17.5 million over the tax line. So teams that go to that level will no longer have access to the taxpayer mid-level exception in free agency. Now, it does go on to say, and you pointed this out
this
before the show.
This is very interesting and important.
Those changes will be eased into the salary cap over a period of years.
Right.
And so,
a lot of people, well, I think NBC Sports Bay Area pointed out, under these rules, the Warriors last year would not have been able to sign Dante DiVincenzo.
Right.
And in fact, Woj points it out. So does that mean next year they won't have the mid-level exception? And again, that's why it's called an exception. It's like, you're over the tax, but we'll give you this exception. We don't know when it's going into effect.
Yeah, we don't know when it's going into effect. And is it eased into the cap over a period of years means probably not next year.
Mm-hmm.
But teams that reach that highest level, as the Warriors would be at, the Clippers and a couple of others, then would not get the mid-level. So you basically would be hamstrung as to, you could sign minimum players at that point. Like, once you reach that level, the only means would be trades, draft picks, and signing minimum level players.
So they've decided that, okay, the tax, luxury tax, is not punitive enough. You go over the cap, you've got to pay, and what is it, like $7 to everyone?
Right.
And now they've decided, in addition to that, if you get $17.5 million over the tax line, you also, in addition to having to spend the luxury tax, now you will lose the mid-level exception.
Right. So it in essence would, and I don't know how far the Warriors are over that. I think they're significantly over it. But to get under, so you make a choice to, do you keep the players that you are paying a lot for, or do you try to trade one of those players potentially to sign a mid-level guy? I mean, at that point.
And does that come into play this offseason?
And does it come into play this offseason? Yeah, and Dante DiVincenzo was one example. If these rules had been in play this last offseason, DiVincenzo would not have been able to sign with the Warriors. Milwaukee signed Joe Ingles, who's been a big bench player for them. Danilo Gallinari was signed by the Celtics. He ended up tearing his ACL, but Gallinari was signed by the Celtics in the offseason to a mid-level exception as well. Woj goes on to say, as a counter to those spending limitations, the new CBA is expected to create more spending and trade opportunities for teams at the middle and lower spectrum of spending. There will be an opening of more opportunities in the free agent market, including larger trade exceptions. So they're trying to also implore teams that haven't spent as much to try and acquire some of these players for more money than the teams that are signing them to the mid-levels. In essence, hey, somebody pay Dante a mid or a lower team, pay Dante DiVincenzo $8 to $10 million a year rather than having him go to the Warriors for $4 or $5 million a year. The issue with that, and Draymond Green's been all over this, the issue with that is, and he said, and I'll quote his tweet here, this is Draymond, "Players lose again, shake my head, middle and lower spectrum teams don't spend because they don't want to. They want to lose. So increase their spending capabilities just to increase them. They continue to cut out the middle, and this is what we rushed into a deal for. Shake my damn head, never fail." So he's upset with his own players association in doing that deal.
And he could be upset because this could in some ways make it less likely that the Warriors will keep him. Maybe not. But to the question you raised a few moments ago, NBC Sports Bay Area, quote, "SportTrack, here's where the Warriors are in terms of the tax line. The Warriors are more than $39 million over the luxury tax line this season. Those numbers go up next season because you got Poole and Wiggins, new extensions kicking in. So, and things could change depending on what they decide to do. Right now, the Warriors project to be about $49 million over the tax threshold next season." Again, you lose your mid-level at, what, 17 and a half over? So this is really a direct shot from the rest of the owners at the Warriors and I think to a lesser extent, the Clippers.
Yeah, and to me, you know, and our buddy Rotz, who follows it, has just chimed in from the 650, and he alluded to the numbers that you just mentioned. But he says even more of a reason to keep Draymond, because you lose out on the mid-level exception anyway, so you might as well keep your own guys at that point, which I that was kind of where I was going with it. It's like, you're not going to trade Draymond so you can sign a mid-level player, or you're not going to, you know what I mean? You're not going to trade Wiggins
so you can
sign somebody that makes $6 million a year.
Yeah.
However, you know, those players do, you know, Dante DiVincenzo, you can, Dante DiVincenzo might be the reason the Warriors are 41-37 instead of 37-41.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's really helped them this year.
I thought he turned them around against the Pelicans, and I know the company line was, Draymond got everyone excited and he saved the game. I thought DiVincenzo was the one who did that.
No, they both did.
Yeah.
I think they both did. The other part of this is the notion that and I know Dave, I almost said David Stern, not David
That's
Stern.
That's all right. I don't mind being mentioned. And God,
yeah, R.I.P. But Adam Silver had mentioned the term redistribution of like a reallocation, basically. I think in one of his press conferences, going back a little ways, and it's this notion that the teams that are willing to spend are being prevented now from spending, and the teams who have also drafted and developed, and I think the Warriors are really the only Warriors.
Joe Lacob has made this point.
And it is that,
and he was fined for it.
They're getting hurt. The teams that have drafted well and willing to continue to keep paying their players max level deals, as the Warriors have with Steph and Clay and Draymond and Poole to a certain extent.
That was
now
a checkbook championship last year. You know that.
Yeah, come on. But so the hell what? But at the point in which this, I think, is the NBA trying to negate a dynasty from ever happening again? Are they trying to prevent it from ever happening again? Are they trying to limit the time that a team can be on top? Are they trying to punish the Warriors specifically for gaming the system with with Kevin Durant back in 2016.
And you know, the NBA, it's not Commissioner Silver handing down his decisions.
It's the owners.
It is, right. And the other owners, and we see this in baseball too. Again, I know we're not talking about baseball, but you got owners in baseball looking at the Padres and the Mets and going, they're spending too much money. I mean, how awful is that for the product? Now we have it in the NBA, and Warrior fans know better than any other fans. Wow, this is great. We've got ownership that wants to win, and they are spending a lot of money, a ton of money, more money than ever anyone has ever spent to try to keep the winning going. And you've got the other owners going, oh, well, we don't want that. That's terrible for the product.
Yeah.
Is what that is.
Yeah, well, that is bad for the product. There's no question. And I think, you know, Joe Lacob has alluded to the fact that, hey, you know, other owners are not going to be happy with me for
yeah, and he got fined for that.
Continuing.
That's why Bob Myers just addressed this, and he was very careful with what he said.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe Lacob's right.
The other thing is, you wonder, you know, does this, and we've had a few people kind of wonder, you know, is this like Bob Myers maybe knows this is coming. It's like, well, I don't want to be a GM anymore if I don't have all the tools.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. It's going to be very tough for the Warriors going forward. You know, because as we've talked about it, the last couple of years, you go get Otto Porter. You find guys with the mid-level that have something to prove, that will take less money to come play for you for a year. They won't be around long, but that's okay. If it works out, DiVincenzo, another example. And now, all right, the other owner's going, no, we don't like you. It's not fair. You always win. So we're taking that tool away from you, too. Now let's see what you do.
Another text here, Comcast.
Although,
business
again,
text
JD,
line.
Pardon me, but we don't know how soon that goes into effect, as we've said.
No, we don't.
We're waiting to hear.
Again, the Warriors are the type of team that would really benefit from, hey, you've got your team, you need one more veteran piece. The only way you can get that veteran piece is with the mid-level exception.
It's like a lifeline for them.
And it's how they got, you know, it's how they got Dante DiVincenzo, who found himself in the middle ground of, he maybe could have got more from a lesser team, but also was not forced into having to take the veteran minimum. He thought, hey, I'll go to a really good team. I'll take them mid-level. I'll be on display on a team that's going to be in the playoffs and maybe make a championship run. That's how I'll get paid more later. It puts the player in position now where if they want more money, they almost have to go to a crappier team. Like that option
maybe
of, hey, I can make $5 or $6 million to play. I'd rather make $5 or $6 million playing for a good team than make $10 million playing for a bad team. Mm-hmm. And what the league is saying is, well, no, sorry, you're going to have to make $10 million playing for a bad team at that point, which I think would be the counter argument to it hurting the player. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, are some of those players going to start taking veteran minimum deals now to go play for teams that they want to play for? And if they go take veteran minimum deals to play for teams like that, it winds up hurting the player in the middle financially if they feel compelled to do that. So it is kind of a slippery slope in a number of different fronts.
Yes. Bottom line, though, as fans, we don't have to worry about this nonsense for 7 years. We don't have to worry about a lockout or a strike. Of course, as it gets closer, you know, who knows? Things can go sideways. But that ultimately is good news. It's just really, I mean, it is. The word is unfair. And how can you say, well, it's unfair. The Warriors always win. They've won all the 4 championships. Why is it unfair? But it is really unfair when an organization goes about it the right way, and then they spend money to keep their own guys for the most part. They haven't gone out and gotten a lot of free agents. They did trade for Wiggins, but
they did go out and get the biggest free agent maybe of all time.
Yeah, well, okay.
When they did. And again, credit to them. They planned ahead for that. I know mm-hmm. Bob Myers has been given a lot of the credit for the foresight and doing the calculations.
Having Wiggins was part of that, too, all the machinations of that.
No question.
Yeah.
And so it you know, they used the system to their advantage, and maybe there's a payback for that. I think a lot of Warrior fans would agree with this text from the 925. There really needs to be an exception for players you drafted. We didn't put our team together. We drafted it and grew it, meaning the Warriors, obviously.
Yeah,
a Warriors
for the most
fan
part,
checking
in
there.
Yeah. You shouldn't be penalized for that.
And I know a lot of Warrior fans right off the top firmly believe that. You hear a lot of that echoing out from the organization. I do think, in a way, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I also think it's very, well, of course the Warrior fans are going to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they are really maybe the only team that would, at this point, like, they would be the team that would benefit the most from, yeah, you get an exception because you drafted Steph. You get an mm-hmm. exception because you drafted Clay. I don't know. Maybe it should work out that way, but it seems a little, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is.
Disingenuous, perhaps?
Yeah, it's just. Well, of course, the team that you're a fan of, if they benefit the most, you're going to want that to happen. You want that to happen for them.
But that doesn't mean it isn't true. What gets me is, and it's easy for me to say, sitting here, you know, and sitting in an arena or watching on TV, I think the luxury tax was punitive as it was, and I think it was taking its toll on the Warriors. We've spent a lot of time talking about how tough the decisions they've had to make are, and going forward, what they're going to have to do. And now, why do you have to make that even more difficult by taking away the mid-level? I think that's too punitive when the luxury tax, as it was, and I know the Warriors keep spending, but I think they already were feeling the pinch from that. So why do you have to go on top of that with more penalties for teams willing to spend money to try to win?
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Mike in Daly City, Charles in El Cerrito. We'll get to you coming back. Final hour straight ahead. Warriors this week, 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.